Good morning, everyone. Happy Advent. Today, rather than like a regular hum in the middle, you get three short ones, beginning, middle, end. I promise it will not take that long. It worked out the last two times. So for the beginning of Mass, just to draw your attention to the antiphon on the front of your order of worship, this is homily number one. We are, as I think I mentioned last Sunday, but perhaps you weren't here either way, in Advent, here and at St. Mary's, singing the antiphons. The antiphon we should know at this point pretty well. A couple of years we've been reciting those every single Sunday before the Holy Day Masses and the weekend Masses. They come to us out of the Scriptures, the Prophets, the Psalms, and sometimes other sundry places, and they are beautiful expressions of what the Church celebrates on that day or in that season. The antiphons are really meant to be sung, actually. That's really the proper way to experience them, so we're singing them now, and they really are the first form of like popular hymns that we had in the church. So the hymns we're used to singing out of the Red Book, those kind of came newer in history. This is older, and still used in much of the Catholic world, actually, so it's not unusual. So for Advent, we're doing the antiphons, and then we're pairing them with the psalms out of what's called the Gradual, which is a book that's got all these opening psalms for liturgical celebrations. So today, Isaiah 30 for the antiphon, Psalm 79 is one that it's linked up with. So why are we doing these things? We're doing it because, one, it's good to know our tradition. It's good to learn it so we can hand it on to the next generation and things are not lost. So for the sake of understanding who we are as Catholics, this is really important. And a lot of the Catholic world's kind of going back to this, actually, more and more. So we're kind of keeping up, if you will, with what's happening around the world and the church. But also because in Advent, it's especially appropriate time because the thing about this is it's kind of a gentle and a subtle and a soft way to enter into the Mass as a celebration. The Church says that when it comes to Advent, we're supposed to kind of turn down the volume, slow things down a little bit. The organ is not played as much. The decorations are subdued. Everything is sort of geared to make the Church speak in a whisper and to speak kind of quietly and stilly and subtly, because why? Because we're in awe before the mystery of what's about to unfold on Christmas. So unlike the culture out there right now, this is not supposed to be a hyper place. It's supposed to be kind of easy, kind of calm, kind of still. And this is a very calm, still, simple way to pray. So it's set up like a responsorial psalm. So the parts in the musical score is the antiphon itself. The cantor will lead it once, then we repeat it like a psalm. And then the verses are of the psalm, so if you want to sing those, you can, and they're pointed with those underlines to help you know when to go up or down, but if you want to listen, that's fine too, what the cantor does, but either way, we should all come in on the refrain. That's how we do these gradual antiphonal songs, okay? Also good to point out the text itself, right? Isaiah 30. It says, "People of Zion, behold, the Lord's going to come to save the nations. The Lord will make the glory of his voice heard and the joy of your heart." The Lord wants to make his voice heard in the joy of our hearts. It's a beautiful thing to take in and think about that, that God's voice is going to resound inside of us with joy and with clarity. For that to happen, we've got to be kind of still, be kind of quiet, hence the different way to do this, right? Psalm 79 is also a great Advent psalm because it talks about God repairing what's broken. A broken people is going to be made whole. A broken people will be made whole. That'll be the theme throughout our readings today as well, too. Okay? So with that in mind, we enter into the Advent season. I think two different at this Mass today, we're also welcoming those preparing for initiation at Easter time and the fullness of the Catholic faith. That'll be another little add-in as well, too. So we'll honor to pray with our two candidates today as well. So with all this in our hearts, homily number one, end. We'll stand and begin our Mass. As I mentioned before Mass, in the Isaiah antiphon and the psalm that follows it today, there is a strong theme of God's desire to heal what is broken, to mend what has been destroyed, and to come to the solace and rescue of a broken people, a broken nation. That's a strong Advent theme in general. That's why it's in the gradual Psalter for the Masses that we sing in the Advent season. God wants to heal what is broken. He wants to raise up what has fallen. He wants to restore what was not whole. He wants to mend hearts, and he is eager to come among us and demonstrate his power to save. That theme is picked up in the Gospel a little bit, It's also picked up in Baruch, our first reading. It's worth hearing Baruch again, but if we do, the context is helpful. Baruch writes at a time period when in the history of the Israelite community, they have just been exiled and sent into Babylon. They've lost their home, they've seen their temple burned, they've seen the palace destroyed, the king murdered right there in his kingdom, their hierarchy and leadership hauled off, so the country was taken, most of them, into exile. Sad, poignant, difficult moment for the Jewish people. They are broken. They have fallen down. So Baruch sees all of this. He witnesses it. So what does God do? He speaks to Baruch words of comfort. God wants to build up. He wants to heal. He wants to make whole. And this is how he says it. So knowing the background now, again, here is Baruch. Jerusalem, he says, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. What an amazing thing to say to a broken people, that one day they're going to be great again, that the world's going to recognize in them something magnificent, powerful, that they can be proud again. To a broken nation, that's a great, great balm of solace and comfort. Then he says this beautiful verse, just love it. Up Jerusalem, stand upon the heights and look to the east and see your children gathered from among the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they have remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. Look to the east, look to the heights. Your children are going to come back, Baruch says. You watch them get hauled away, they'll return to you in abundance, with splendor and with glory. God shows us important things in these verses. The first is this: if we are having a bad day, if life is broken at all, if we are broken at all, if our parishes or our church or our nation or hearts or families are at all broken, God notices. It doesn't escape his attention. He is fully aware of the sorrows that we deal with in this life, and there are many. It's true. So Baruch shows us that God has not missed it. He knows exactly what's happening to his people, and it's on his heart. One. Two, God says, I want to fix it. I want to heal. I want to mend. I want to shape. I want to build up. I'm going to bring back your children. What's broken will be restored. That's the Advent promise. God knows something is broken. God promises to save it. As a pastor, I hear these verses and I cannot help but think to pick one example of broken things among many. Of the New Jerusalem, the New Church. The Catholic Church is Zion. It is Jerusalem. It is God's chosen special instrument. And the fact is, we experience our own kind of Babylonian captivity these days, as so many of our kids, grandkids, friends, neighbors walk away from the faith. They let off from the slavery and captivity of poor choices, abandonment, doubt, unbelief. Our own exile happens around us as Catholics all the time. In our country, the biggest religious group is the Catholic Church. The second biggest religious group are the ex-Catholics, 15 million of them, former Catholics fallen away. That pains me. It should pain all of us to think that there are people who do not practice the faith on a regular basis. So that's the broken part. But God says, like he says to Baruch, I will bring them back. Stand up, church, look to the east and see your children gathered back together again. They're going to come back to you. The church is going to grow to fill the entire earth. I will mend, I'll restore, I'll make whole. It's going to happen, God says. So that's a great act of promise on his part. In fact, we have two candidates today who are going to become Catholic in a few months. That is him growing the church. They are a sign of God's blossoming power in our midst. It's awesome. How does God do this? How does he restore? One important way is our prayers. Our prayers for the church, for those who've fallen away. Very important to do those things. To desire with our hearts like God desires for his church to be full. Ever since August, at the end of Mass, I've been praying these prayers, you know. There's monthly devotional ones, but there's one consistent prayer throughout the year. It's been our prayer for the church. you want to, and we'll end with this, you can take a look at it. Again, it's in your orders of worship. It's on the inside back cover, roughly. Page in from that. There's the memorare on there, and then beneath it is the prayer for the growth of the church. That bottom prayer is what Baruch is talking about, what Advent is about. It's about the fact that God wants us to earnestly pray for, long for, the coming home of those who are lost to this heavenly Jerusalem, his bride. This is very important. It stirs up in us the Advent spirituality of longing to make whole. So pray that again right now as a way of sharing in God's desire for his children to come back to the fullness of his faith. Lord God, you love your church as a spouse. Help us love the church as you do. Cleanse us of all that is impure. Strengthen a good example. Lead back to the church and her sacraments all of your children who have fallen away. May your church grow till the entire earth. Amen. Homily part three, very short. I mentioned in the beginning of Mass about the longing that's expressed in the season to bring home those who are abandoned and lost, to fix what is broken, and our antiphons express that. Baruch talks about it too, and I did explain that God wants to bring back to the church all of his children who have walked away and fallen away, and to mend whatever is not whole. How we do that? We talked about prayer. The second key way is through a change of mindset among all of us, a shift in thinking about whose job it is, the role it is, to be an agent of God's divine power. It is not my job as the priest, for example, to bring everyone back to the church. I will do what I can to help, but the fact of the matter is, everybody gathered here, you are all God's instruments to accomplish what he wants to do, to fill the entire earth with his faithful. That's your role to do that. And you do it by inviting people to come into the church or to come with you to things and being agents and ambassadors of his grace and of his power. So you have the chance to become instruments of the divine, which is awesome to behold and think about, right? So the last part of the homily is really just the announcements. But don't think about these things so much as like all the stuff going on. Think about every one of these things I'm going to mention as opportunities to grow the church. That's the whole point of doing this stuff. It's not just to have things going on. It is to expand the kingdom of God and to give all of us here chances to bring people to things going on around here. I have found that I can stand up and I can list these things, but the thing of it is, our events that are most well attended around here are the ones that you invite people to. And you say, come with me to this thing that's going on at Cabrini or St. Mary's or Holy Angels. When you guys do the inviting and the talking, things grow and we have great attendance. When you don't, well, then I'm there by myself. And that's less than fun for everybody, right? So you get to hear these things as opportunities to do what Baruch says, to grow God's kingdom. That's what all this is about. But to think about things in that way. So to that end, first, most important thing you can do to grow the church is to have donuts downstairs after Mass. Parents, you know this, right? When you want your kids to come home, you feed them. They all come home when they're going to have dinner, right? Because they've got to cook, you know? So we have Donut Sundays on the second Sundays to inspire people to come downstairs and visit and build the community and welcome people here. It's non-threatening. It's nice to do. Invite people down there. So that's going on after Mass, Donut Sunday. A very important part of reaching out is food, no problem. After all the Masses, on this Wednesday, offices are going to be closed so the staff can go on retreat and pray about how it means to be evangelists ourselves. That's what's going on there. Confessions coming up too in Advent. Got some days left to go before Christmas. Confession, tremendously important. If we're going to welcome back others, if we're going to be agents of mercy ourselves, we must go to confession. If we've been away for a while, very important to go. Tuesday, Thursday nights, always here at Cabrini and St. Mary's, but also Saturday mornings. And there is one Advent penance service being offered this year. It is at Holy Angels this Friday night at 7 o'clock, so you can be there if you'd like to be. Thank you for being part of our outreach to the community through the Giving Tree. That's a great way to expand the kingdom of God as you bring wrapped presents and things. It all makes a difference in people's lives. If you've not brought your present back yet, do it today or by tomorrow morning, please, to the parish office, and we'll get those where they have to go. Thank you for that. In the bulletin, page 5, information about supporting the parish through your IRA is tax deductible and tax free, so check that out. That supports our ministries here. Keeps the lights on, keeps everything running, so all those ways you can contribute financially to help the church are tremendously important. They too grow the kingdom in their own special way. It is true. Christmas liturgy is coming up, so we want to make our Christmas this year, again, as welcoming and prayerful and beautiful as possible, and all of you are part of that by assisting with readings, with ushering, with helping with communion. If you know you're going to be here for Christmas for Mass, which is wonderful, there's a on the back wall over there a place to put your name down and assist. Please do that. Put yourself at the service of the community. Ushers is a meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Now, ushers are the rock stars around here. It's really true. I mean, every month I give them things to hand out. They don't argue, generally. And they do all the great things about picking up after you, straightening up the books, welcoming you to come in the door. If you're not an usher, you might think about being one. We have a young person who's helping now at Masses too to usher. She's, you know, not that old. We can all do this stuff and own the task of welcoming others to make our liturgies prayerful, reverent, and beautiful. Ushers, there's a meeting at 7 this Wednesday to do some little updates on some things around here. If you want to be an usher, come to the meeting. Great to have you, right? We're going to clean church, too, in anticipation for Christ's birth. That's this Saturday. We want help with that. Please come. That's Saturday. We're going to give you cleaning supplies. This afternoon at St. Mary's, a beautiful Advent concert. I'm very excited about this. We'll have the antiphons and readings and prayer. St. Mary's is lovely this time of the year, so come today at 3:30 for an hour-long Advent concert, and tomorrow night here, Tezé prayer at 7 to 8, two beautiful Advent prayer opportunities in the next couple days. We're looking for a K-3 teacher and help in our learning center over here and down in school as we grow our ministries to families, which is important. And then also Holy Angels is having a Christmas play next Saturday, bulletin details. And then last piece before the other big thing to mention to you, not on script, the Together event's coming up in March, our school auction, and you have a chance now to buy gift certificates for those as a gift for the auction. So if you buy gift cards, it's like cash that night at the auction. So for a holiday gift, Christmas gift, whatever you want to do that, back there, Lisa will take your name. If you don't have any money on you, we'll take your name down and we'll chase you down for the money later. No problem. But it's a nice way to be involved in our ministry here this weekend and next weekend. We're selling them at all the masses. Lastly, please note carefully my column for the bulletin for this week, the one on the inside cover. In it, I explain that I am taking a study sabbatical this coming summer. I'll be gone for 3 months and will not be here. You can read all the details about it, etc. But for today, you should just know I'm not going because there's something wrong with me as far as I know. You might differ on that opinion, but I think I'm fine. But the point is, priests do these things once in a while. It's part of our routine. Priesthood, the church wants for us. So check all that out. Read about it. Ask me questions. In a couple of weeks, on the last Sunday of the month, the other column will have all the details of where I'm going. So that's like part two of that story, okay? So that's all the news that's fit to print for you to share and bring other people too. It's your job to bring these things to life, right? Why don't we stand for our two concluding prayers? And we will pray first the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, and never was it known in any one but to thy protection, for thy help, sought thy intercession, was left unaided, inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful, O Mother of Virgin incarnate. Despise my petitions, and I mercy, and amen. And again for the church. Lord God, we love your church as a spouse. Help us love the church as you do. Cleanse of all that is impure. Strengthen our good example. And lead back to the church and the sacraments all of these children who have fallen away. May your church grow until the entire earth. Amen.